All right. Thank you, Brother Cruz. How true that message of that song is. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke, the book of Luke. We're going to go to Luke chapter 21. And maybe a little bit different for a Sunday morning gospel sermon, but I think the urgency of what I'm going to speak on, or the warning of it, ought to be somewhat apparent. Luke chapter 21 runs a close parallel to other places like the Lord's message in Matthew 24 and so forth, but I'm going to speak to you on a subject, divers, earthquakes. And we find it here in the text. I'm going to read several verses beginning about verse 5 of Luke chapter 21. "And as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he," speaking of Jesus, "said, as for these things which ye behold, the days will come into which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. They ask him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, in famines and pestilence and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up unto the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake." Paul pretty well fulfilled that in his ministry right there. "And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed, both by parents and brothers and kinfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to try to expound the verses. We recognize the context here. The Lord is talking to them, and much of this will have taken place in the tribulation period. Some of it is yet future, I believe. And certainly in the book of Acts, we can see where Paul himself, when he was still Saul, before he was saved, was bringing believers into the synagogues and so forth. So all of that we can see in its context. But in its context, the Lord is being asked, when shall these things come? And he gives some signs, a lot of signs that he speaks of, and you can run it through the Bible in many places. And one of those signs here that he's talking about, and it's pretty well held in the general population today, if anybody's been to church, any kind of good church much, they know that one of the end time signs is the frequency, the increase of earthquakes. And this morning I could have chosen several verses, of course, in the Bible, and I intend to run a few others. But amidst all the news and the deception and the spin that's on the news today, you know what we haven't overlooked today? We're overlooking today what the Lord said would be. And I think about it as I watch some of the news. That's man-made news here and there, as one politician hitting another one. Our president's over in Colombia. I guess he's one place he hadn't been that he hadn't apologized for America yet. He's finding all the places he can. But we got all kind of news like that. But you know, God made some news this week. And his news pretty well went to the back burner. His news pretty well got neglected. Do you understand this week they had two big earthquakes and they had another one off the coast of Oregon? Do you know the week before that they had two or three? Do you understand they're getting closer and closer and bigger and bigger? And I think the Lord is trying to say, folks, what else can I do? I told you this would happen. And in the last 10 years, there's been a tremendous increase of earthquake, even by the stats. And of course, a lot of folks, you know, well, it's climate change, it's global warming, hogwash, it's the end times. That's what it is. And the truth of the matter is, we're getting close and we're seeing what God said we would see. And we are seeing it. Now, we've seen things before. I mean, we've had them in America. We had the, what was it, 89, the series, World Series got interrupted with the earthquake. I believe it was. I feel sorry when I see folks killed with a big one in China a number of years back. I feel sorry for those folks that were running. And by the way, into Indonesia this week, did you see them running because they thought a tsunami was coming? And everybody was trying to get to high ground. I want to tell you something. We're seeing it worldwide, like the scripture says, in divers or different or more unusual places than ever before. That's what we're talking about. And earthquakes bring fear. And that should be a warning. That ought to be simply when we see them increasing, we ought to say God is warning some folks that it's not always just going to be sun up and sun down. There's some things that are changing. And I'm talking about God in his mercy is saying, I told you ahead. Now, why don't you wake up and take heed? That's what I believe he's saying. I want to this morning, in the short time we have, ask and answer a few questions concerning earthquakes. And answer them from the Bible. To begin with, somebody asked the question, is earthquakes of God? Yes, in his sovereignty, they are. God is in charge of his creation. The phenomena that takes place, he is in charge of it. And just as much so as the tornadoes that you're probably seeing on the news last night, and we have been seeing, or just as much as when we had the hurricanes come through. Yes, in God's creation that he made and the natural laws that he set up, we understand still, though, his sovereignty is behind it. And why, you say, why the negative things? Well, the truth is, it's part of the curse. And we do live in a planet that's under a curse. Do you understand that? Do you understand what takes place when a hurricane or a storm or even a tornado takes place? You know what you've got? You got a struggle. You got a fight going on in the atmosphere. You got warm air clashing with cold air and all the things they tell us it does. But brother, I want to tell you something. It pictures the struggle of old planet Earth. It is in a struggle. It is under a curse. That's why the rose bushes still have thorns. That's why sometimes it's too much rain, or like here in Central Florida, not enough. I mean, it's never in balance very long. Something's out of balance here or there because old planet Earth is under a curse. And yes, earthquakes are of God. Romans 8 talks about the creation groaning and travailing together in pain. You know, the interesting thing in the Bible, and I can't understand it. I'm not sure how it works. But God sometimes in the Bible speaks of the land crying out to him. And Jesus, when he went in on Palm Sunday and they were crying Hosanna in the highest and they wanted to shut the kids up, you know what Jesus said? Why, if they hushed up, the rocks would cry out. So somehow or another in God's creation, there's something there that even this earth resents being under a curse. Did you know that? I mean, in all reality, you know, what we're seeing what the scripture calls birth pains. A delivery is coming. A deliverance is coming. The curse is going to be lifted one day. I get you to flip over real quick to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and pick it up at about verse 1-3 right through here. Thessalonians says, but of these things and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Paul is writing to the church here now. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Now watch the next word. As travail. Travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Now I like the next word. It says but, and it addresses it to the brethren. You and I that are saved are not under the wrath of God. Thank God we're not in darkness. We're not supposed to be dumb to what's going on. That's why I'm preaching to you the way I am this morning. You know, the truth is, you and I ought to know the Word of God enough to understand when God is speaking through even phenomena, even through the natural, what the world calls the natural events out here. But the word travail. Now, most of the women in here, mothers for sure, know what that word means. And you know, the Bible teaches that as we get near the end times, that the birth pains are going to get closer. I don't know. I remember one night living in a little parsonage here behind the church, and my wife had really gotten fat. I mean, she was getting pretty big. But I didn't think about that night when we went to bed. It was just a regular night. But somewhere about 1 a.m., and I'm going to ask God when we get to heaven, why does it always have to be 1 a.m.? How come the preacher's phone has to ring at 1 a.m. and go to the hospital? But anyway, she woke me up and she said, I think it's getting close to time. You know what she was doing? She was timing some pains, some birth pains. She was timing the travail. She said it was getting closer. And she knew it was about time to grab that suitcase and get gone. And that's what we did. And I want to tell you something. It's about time. If your suitcase is not packed for heaven, it ought to be. Because the birth pains are getting closer, brother. And what God said would happen is happening. And one of those things is the earthquakes. Amen. Say, well, have we always had them? Yeah, but they're closer together now. Much closer together. And I'm sad for folks that are in them and have been hurt by them and all of that. But the truth of the matter is, this old world is struggling. This old world is grown and in travail, and the birth pains are getting closer and closer together. Now, God may or may not use that particular earthquake for some particular reason, but I think always when one happens, somebody ought to think about God. Because His judicial presence is there. You remember when the resurrection happened? Brother Jeff referred to it this morning. You can go over today and see that when the resurrection took place, when the crucifixion took place, when the veil was rent in twain, there was an earthquake that happened. And you go to the garden tomb today and you'll still see where the rocks are split. And you know what they did? They feared. You know what's a good thing today? People need to fear the power of God. They need to fear when something like that happens. How about in Acts 16? You remember Paul and Silas was put in jail for preaching about Jesus? And you remember how at midnight they were singing even though they'd been beaten? I believe they were Baptists, but that does cause me some doubt. Because most Baptists whimper with a lot less than that. And very few sing at midnight when things are bad. Now, I'm hitting you a little bit. But that's what Paul and Silas did. And you know what? The earthquake came. It scared them so bad, even the prisoners that would have run stayed there, remember? Remember what happened to the Philippian jailer? He got saved. He called Paul out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He knew God had shown up. In America today, I wonder how much more it's going to take before God shows up or before we realize He is showing up. But the earthquake came in Acts 16. God sometimes uses that, but sometimes He don't. Do you remember the story of Elijah? What was it? 1 Kings 19? Remember the story? Elijah, now he was a good Baptist. Now I'm playing with you some. Because he got pessimistic, didn't he? And he even let a woman scare him. Amen. Anyhow, you'd be surprised how many preachers could tell you about that. But anyway, he ran out there and began to moan and groan. Remember the story? Remember how he hid, how he wanted to die? Remember that? But you remember what? God sent a wind, a strong wind. He called him out of the cave and stood him up there and said, and Elijah's standing there, I can just see him with his arms crossed pouting. You know, God, I didn't intend for it to turn out this way. You mistreated me. Anyway, the wind come, but it says God was not in the wind. Then the earthquake came, and the scripture says God was not in the earthquake. Then a fire came, and still God was not in the fire. He didn't speak through the wind, through the earthquake, or through the fire, but then He spoke in a still, small voice. You know, that's God's usual way. You say, He's never spoke to me. Yes, He has. He spoke to you in a still, small voice. You'd say, well, do something big. Let me see lightning. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. God's still speaking to you. And if you tell the truth, you know He is. If you're here unsaved, He spoke to you before. Maybe not in an earthquake, but in your heart. If you're here in a backslidden condition and not living for God, He's still speaking to you in a still, small voice. That's the way He does it. That's the way He does it. That's most likely the way that He will do it. He may speak to you at a time of sickness or tragedy or accident. I understand that. But he's always speaking in a still, small voice if you'll get still and listen to him. I want to say this, though. Earthquakes can be of God. They are of God. He's in control of everything. But there's more earthquakes coming in the future. Definitely. Definitely. Luke 21 here tells us in divers places. That means in different places. Now, there's some places that the scientists have picked out that's got a big fault. They think, you know, out in California, the big one's yet to come. I don't know why anybody wants to live out there. I'm joking a little bit. I've been out there, and they'd say, you know what they say to me when I go out to California? How can you live in Florida? Aren't you afraid of all those hurricanes? You know what I say to them? Who are you talking about? You're going to have an earthquake drop you in the ocean. It's amazing what we fear and don't fear, and what we get used to and we don't get used to. Amen. But yeah, there's some big ones coming. Some big ones are predicted. Stats show more in the last 10 years than recorded ever before. And the biggest is yet ahead. Now, I remember even at the time that the earthquake broke up the World Series and did all the damage that it did out there in, what, San Francisco, I guess. You know what? Dan Rather was still in the news. Thank God he's gone, but he was still in the news. And you know what he said? He said, it's still not the big one. There's a bigger one predicted to come. That's what he was saying. That's what he was saying. Now, the truth is, he was right. At least that time. He was right. There's a big one on the way. The Bible tells us. Would you like to read about it? Let me have you read about it. Go back to your left and pick up in the book of Zechariah. Now, best thing to do is get to the front of Matthew and go through the blank place and go through Malachi and get over to Zechariah. And it's just jump with me to the last chapter of the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, and we'll pick up just a few verses on it. I want to show you the big one that's coming. This is the time the nations gather against Jerusalem, verse 1, 2. You move on down, the Lord's coming out to fight against them in verse 3. And in verse 4 tells you something about it. And his feet, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a great valley, and a half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. Goes on down reading, says you'll flee to the valley of the mountains. And he goes on down and uses an illustration in verse 5. As ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. See, they had a big one in the past, and the Lord is referencing that. He's saying a big one is coming. In fact, if you were to go back to your left and pick it over in the book of Amos, chapter 1, and pick it up in verse 1, it says, the word of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. Watch it now. 2 years before the earthquake. Now, isn't it amazing how men reference things in history by some tragedy? There was a time a big earthquake come, and now God is saying one is coming in the future, and you'll run from it like you did that one in the past. That's what he's saying over there. Now, the biggest is yet ahead. The biggest is in the book of Revelation, so it's ahead of us. Revelation 7 times mentions earthquakes. I could give you the references, but just the last book, you're not going to have any trouble finding that. Go to the book of Revelation. We'll look at chapter 18. Revelation chapter 18, I believe, is what I'm looking at. And I'll look at it here in about verse 10, I believe I can find it. Okay. Missed it. 16, verse 10. Missed it again. What are y'all doing? You can't find the place out there? Somebody help me here. 16, 18. I'll get it right in a minute. 16, 18. I was going to get you to pick it up. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake. Watch the next statement. Such as was not since men were upon the earth. So that's the greatest one. So mighty an earthquake and so great. There's one ahead, folks. Now, I believe you and I that are saved are going to be caught out before that one. I really do. But it's predicted. It's in the Word of God. It's going to happen. I remember one time in the early years, I just hadn't been at the church here very long. We were still in the old building that we used for day school over here. And on visitation night, somebody had visited the church. A man had visited the church. And I went and found his address. And I went to his house and visited with him. Turned out that he was basically from Europe. He was a archaeologist, kind of an engineer, kind of guy. And I had preached, as I have through the years, that Jesus is coming. And one of the things I preached, something about an earthquake. I don't know what I said. But he said, "Preacher, I'm glad you come." I found out he was saved. And he brought me in there and he showed me something. He taught me something that night. He said, "It's interesting what you said. In fact, I believe I had been on this portion in Zechariah." He said, "I want to show you." And I went in the back room with him, and he had a great big globe of the planet. I mean, you see these things on somebody's desk, but this was a big one. Not only was it a big globe, it didn't look like a regular globe. It had mountains built up on it. It had valleys cut into it. It was the most unusual thing I'd seen. It was depicting the planet as they thought that it really did look like, with its mountains and its valleys and its ocean and so forth. And he took me to where I read over there in Zechariah, where the Lord's feet would come on the Mount of Olives and how it would cleave one way to the east and to the west. There'd be a great valley in between the two seas there. And he went to that globe with me, and we stood there and talked about the Bible. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I've been over there. I've done the surveying." He said, "I understand." And he said, "Let me show you on this globe." And he had marked a fault line. That's what they believe earthquakes is, a sign an earthquake is coming. He showed me the fault line through the Mount of Olives, down through the Kidron Valley, down between the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. And he said, right there where the Bible says is one of the biggest fault lines for an earthquake on the planet that we know about. He said, it is going to happen just like the Bible said that it would. And I found that very interesting, that now science is kind of catching up to where the Bible, he said, in fact, he said they did want to build a Howard Johnson's, I believe it was at that time, great big resort on the Mount of Olives. They couldn't do it because they're afraid of the fault line. Hey, the Bible's ahead of things, folks. It is going to happen, but that's going to be the one where the Lord's feet lands, where he's getting ready to deal with Armageddon, when he's getting ready to show who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that big earthquake is coming because it's predicted. It's the great one. But you know, there's some spiritual truth that an earthquake can teach us. You know, an earthquake, much like the second coming of Christ at the rapture, is unexpected. When's the last time you saw, you know, the Weather Channel goes on out on a limb a little bit and predicts the weather? They get it pretty well right sometimes. They were predicting earthquakes, tornadoes here a couple of days ago, and sure enough, they had some out there in Kansas and where they were predicting. But they can't do too much on predicting earthquakes. They try a little bit, but they always say there's a fault line. They'd even somewhat predict when a volcano is going to erupt. They can tell when the thing is beginning to boil over, so to speak. But when it comes to an earthquake, it's quick. It's sudden. It's like the rapture. It can happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not the blink of an eye, but the twinkling of an eye. It can happen unexpected. And that's exactly what the Bible says. It'll be a lot like the second coming of Christ, unexpected. Minds elsewhere. I remember Stephen, of course, was still home then, and they were playing the series game, and we'd kind of rushed around, and finally, even his mother was sitting there with us, and we were going to watch the series, the baseball series. And as we sat there, I had the dumbest thought. Everything was prepared. Everybody was ready. Do you know what it would take to call off a World Series?
Huh? Do you know what it would take? Well, God just interrupted it. I remember we were sitting there, and all of a sudden the TV blinked. Just blinked. And when it blinked, I jokingly said, maybe God is going to bring an earthquake. That's exactly what happened. It did interrupt it. Nobody counted on that one. The Weather Channel didn't report that one. Nobody said, we'll have a game tonight if there's not an earthquake. Yeah. Nobody said that. It come unexpected. Just like the rapture, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, a lot of folks today are saying, well, I've heard that preached, but it hadn't happened. That's okay. It'll happen so quick. It'll make up for all that time you think it should have been here. Amen. No immediate warning. It just happened. They said in a moment, somebody said in 15 seconds. I don't think it was that, even took that long. They even measured it and said in a few thousandths of a second. But you know, it came regardless of man's schedule. People had their mind on the ball game. They had their mind, some of them trapped in their cars traveling to get to the game or somewhere else. All of that. So will it be when the Lord Jesus comes. So will it be unexpected. So will it be by surprise. I mean, not prepared for. You know, not much man-made preparations works with an earthquake. I know they put these buildings that'll weave and wave, but hey, you let a big one come and it lays on the ground. Not much you can do about it. And there's no preparation for the rapture if you're unsaved. You're not gonna go if you're not ready. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, some in an earthquake are saved and some are lost. And that's the way it's going to be when the rapture takes place. Some are going to be saved and go, and some are going to be lost. The world's going to explain away those that disappear and give a delusion. A lot of folks here on the earth will believe a lie and all that. But God's given warning. Talking about the earthquakes, you know, it was just this last year. One went right through Washington, D.C., cracked the Washington Monument, went into that cathedral where they went in there and pretended that all religions was as good as the other, tried to compromise Christianity after 9/11. It cracked that cathedral. It cracked the Washington Monument. Maybe God is saying something to America. I really believe he is. By the way, he cracked the Knesset over in Israel. That's their Congress. He didn't do it at that time. He did it earlier. I mean, they were in session. And all of a sudden, the earthquake hit and it cracked the plaster all the way across the ceiling. I don't know what they were voting on at the time, but it sure made me think which side was right. Amen? It really happened. And the truth of the matter is, it's going to happen yet in the future. It's going to come. And there is a spiritual truth we can learn. That truth is that God doesn't have to ask our permission to intervene anytime he wants to. He don't have to ask our permission if he can blow the trumpet and call the saved out. It's going to happen on his timing. And it'll be unexpected by so many down here on earth. The Bible says, watch ye therefore, because you know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. It can happen just that quick. Now I want to ask you this morning, how about it? If it comes in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, are you ready? Are you ready? It seems like today, what's going on in the world is pushed on the back. It's a terrible thing. The deception that's going on, the Antichrist spirit that seems to be raging today. Some of you have heard they've got Senate Bill number 48, kind of quietly going through Congress. It's probably going to pass. You know what it is? It's an anti-bullying bill. We're all against anti-bullying, but that's not the truth. The truth is they consider the little girl that wore her T-shirt to school saying Jesus is the only way, she was accused of bullying. That bill is going to stop the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That bill is going to introduce into the curriculum it's already in California, into the curriculum to teach about lesbians and homosexuals, and how they're going to put that in there to teach, even remove the word sex and change it to gender. You see, I'm bullying when I speak against that. So the anti-bullying bill is to stop you from speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the world thinks they're getting by and God's not watching and God don't know. Yes, He does. And every now and then He thunders from Sinai. He thunders through a storm or through an earthquake, and He says, I'm still in charge, and you're helpless before Me.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, we need to wake up, folks.
Amen.
I say to you today, if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, how many more earthquakes will you hear about? How many more warnings will you get? How many more times will you say no when you hear somebody asks you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ? I want to say to you, folks, you heard the young lady sing earlier about Jesus coming, about Him coming. He's going to come, ready or not. Your opportunity is to get ready now. It's time now. The Bible says today is the accepted time, right now. And the truth is, you can be saved this morning if you'll come to Christ. You see, when I hear the news, another earthquake here, another event here, another phenomena here, and I see the hand of God, it don't scare me. It just says in my heart, come quickly, Lord Jesus. There was a time I wouldn't have felt that way, but He's been my Savior for so many years now that I'm lonely for His companionship. I want Him to come. I want to, like old Enoch in the Bible, I want to go home with Him. Amen. Been walking with Him a while, but I think I'm closer to His house than mine now. And I just want to go on with Him. Do you feel that way today? I hope you do. I hope you do. Let's bow our heads. How many of you can say, preacher, I am saved and I know it? No, if I died today, I'd be absent from the body, present with the Lord. Preacher, I also know if the trumpet sounds that I'm going up to meet the Lord in the air. If you can say that by uplifted hand as a testimony, can you say it all over the building? All over the building, so many. Thank you. Are you here and you'd say, preacher, I can't lift my hand. Not honestly, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Let me ask you, friend, don't it bother you a little bit when you hear in the news things that you realize man has no control over? They're building for a big nuclear war right now. It's going to happen. Say, how you know it's going to happen? Because the Bible says it is. That's how I know. Don't it bother you to understand these things the Bible said ahead of time is happening? The frequency and increase of earthquakes is just something just about everybody has been talking about. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Would you be ready if He came today? If you came back to church tonight, and there was very few folks here, and somebody said, well, you didn't know. That thing they talked about called the rapture must have happened. That day is going to happen for some folks. It's going to be a day of terror for those that know they've been left behind. God's good. He's given His warnings. He's given His call. He sent His Son to pay for our sins, that we can trust Him and by the grace of God have eternal life. Do you have that this morning? I pray you do. Let's stand. Father, we commit the invitation to You.